You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Now, someone else who is very interested in combining quantum mechanics and gravity is FQXI member Sabina Hossenfelder, a physicist at the Nordic Institute for Theoretical Physics. We mentioned her earlier because she blogged about Hawking's new ideas. Brendan actually met up with Hossenfelder a few weeks ago at the New Directions meeting in Washington, D.C., where you talked about...
how to save the world.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bigger topic than I was expecting. But Hossenfelder is a good person to ask, since she won last year's FQXI essay contest, which asked about how humanity should steer the future. So, perhaps now is a good time to catch up with her and find out how her five-step program to rescue civilization is going.
Sabina Hossenfelder is a physicist at the Nordic Institute for Theoretical Physics in Stockholm, Sweden. In 2014, she won the FQXI essay contest, which asked, how should humanity steer the future? Her essay combined a visionary imagination with realistic practicality to propose a five-step plan for saving humanity. Hossenfelder won second prize in FQXI's 2009 contest by arguing that we could never really answer the contest question. This time, she took a similar cosmic view and argued that humanity can't currently follow through any suggested courses of action because of the overwhelming complexity of choosing the action and of making that action happen. If realized, her plan would make complex decision-making cheaper and easier. However, she says, the procedure won't be cheap or easy itself at first. I met up with Hossenfelder in Washington, D.C. this past April and asked her if anything had happened in the year since she wrote her essay.
Not that I know of.
Why do you think that is?
Well, who would do it? It's like, I mean, somebody has to do it. From nothing comes nothing. So it seems unlikely somebody would just go and read the essay and do what I told them. It would be nice, but I think I'm too realistic to believe that.
Hossenfelder's solution for steering humanity uses gamification. That's the modern motivational technique that turns everything from weight loss to social interaction into a game. As the essay explains, gamification helps us steer through a complex process by connecting the outcome of any action with an immediate reward that tells us how well our action met our goals. Hossenfelder's essay explains that gamification of humanity has two ingredients. First, individual players create their own games to help them realize their personal goals and priorities. Second, some form of oversight organization, what I think of as a game master, studies the data coming from the gameplay of all the players. The game master looks at how the individual gameplay affects the direction of the network as a whole. The game master then feeds their findings back to the players to affect the gameplay at the individual level. This feedback loop connects individual gameplay with the evolution of the larger network of gamers. To steer humanity, then, here are the essay's five steps. In step one, scientists develop their own individual maps of priorities for research. Hossenfelder claims this is a good first step because it is already doable with existing technology and the infrastructure of the academic system. In step two, we set up the game master and turn on the feedback loop that allows the scientist network to evolve. In step three, we use the lessons we learned from running steps one and two and create individual games for everyone. In step four, we set up the game master feedback loop for the social system. And finally, in step five, we upgrade the priority maps into physical brain extensions for maximal efficiency of the process. I asked Hossenfelder, could she estimate how much this plan would cost?
I did sketch a budget for this, and you need a certain group of people. I mean, my proposal was basically it's an interdisciplinary approach that brings together sociology with computer science and with people from other disciplines. So the visualization of this data plays a large role, and then it must be user-friendly and so on and so forth. So you need a certain group of people to work on this. You need equipment, and then you need time. And so all of this takes money, so you can estimate how much it is. But what really drives up the cost is that you need to cover different areas. So you need to have a fairly large group, and that just costs money. What can I say? You know, just give me 15 million euro and I would save the world. I don't think that's a large price tag.
Do you think that... Could you start on some smaller part of it?
That was the smallest part. So there, it doesn't really make sense to start with something where you cannot cover all these different things. You see what I mean? And I tried at least twice to apply for some interdisciplinary money. Once with the NSF and once with the German, with the European Research Council. And it just doesn't work, you know. It comes back saying, well, that I'm not qualified to work on this, which is totally true because I'm applying for the money because I want to hire people to do it, right? So it's just totally pointless. I'm very cynical about all interdisciplinary things for this reason.
How hopeful are you that this project will eventually, that these steps could eventually...
Oh, I'm perfectly sure that it will eventually happen. You can take that as a prediction. Okay. The question is how long it will take. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you see, you could start it right now, or you can wait 20, 30, 40, 100 years, and in this time the problems will only get bigger. So the sooner you start trying to address them with developing these tools that I was talking about, the easier it will be to address the problems in a timely manner. The longer you wait, the more difficult it will get and the more money it will eventually cost. As I said, it will not be very optimistic.
Was this something that you had thought of before this actual contest?
Yes, sure. In particular, I mean, the last step of the five step was that I said you have to start somewhere. And I said that the logical point to start with is the scientific community, because if we cannot solve our own problems, then why should anybody believe us that we can solve their problems? And I think that academia right now does have a lot of problems of exactly the type that I outlined, where we are not able to act on these problems because we do not have access to all the relevant information, and even if we had it, it was too much information that we cannot process or do not want to process because it takes too much time. There's always this question of, you know, even if we could do it, would we actually do it, or is it just too costly in terms of time, energy, and so on. So I said that we should start with the scientific community. And this is something that I have been thinking of for a long time. It's just so obvious. Like, if you're a scientist and you look at it, people talk about this all the time, that the community has all these sociological problems. Everybody knows it, mm-hmm. But people just play along. They just say, oh, this is a systemic issue. Okay, good. Which doesn't really solve the problem. But
that was Sabine Hossenfelder, telling Brendan how to solve the world's problems. Her vision, along with that of our 13 other big winners, are compiled in a new volume published by Springer. The book, which can be pre-ordered now and should be available in October, contains updated and expanded versions of the essays that are still available on our site. There's a link for pre-ordering the book on the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, and later, we'll be hearing more from Brendan's trip to Washington. So, Brendan, how does the new essay contest volume compare to the others that are on sale, Questioning the Foundations and Eat from Bit or Bit from It?
Well, this one's green, and the others were red and blue.
Well, thank you for that profound insight.
Yes. One thing I can say is that the contributors to the FQXI Springer volume on how humanity should steer the future have shown a lot of ingenuity in trying to imagine the problems civilization may face in the future without having a clear idea about new technologies the coming centuries will have to offer.